Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. It is another, it's another hot one. Well, it's more, I guess it's more humid than it is hot. I was Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 is here. He's grabbing some headphones right now. But I was just saying to him, yeah, it's crazy when the actual temperature is 87, but the feels like the heat index is 99. That tells you the humidity can't get much higher. I mean, it's above 90%, and you can tell that when you're out there. And again, kudos to and thoughts for anyone who is working outside and has to work outside. Had another situation today. Got home yesterday after the show, walked in the house, and older son's doing stir fry. Smelled great, but I thought, man, it is warm here in the house. And I said, is the air conditioning on? And they were like, yeah, it's just hot because both burners and the stove's on. I went, no, mom has cooked Thanksgiving dinners, yeah, for 20, and it's when it's been 85, 90 outside and it's never felt this warm. Went over and it's like, yeah, just barely warm air coming out. So it's like, oh man, again. So a shout out once again, Sense of Green, quick to respond today, and before I had left the house. But when I was leaving the house today, they got out this afternoon, and before I left the house, things were cooling again. And it's about that time. JC, I know you were talking. You're not far removed from a new unit.
Yeah, about this time last year.
Well, this is the time that taxes it more than anything.
It is,
because it's not it isn't just the heat; it is the humidity as well.
Yeah, it is, and you know, it's just a constant usage, because when it doesn't cool off at night, that's when it's rough, and that's what makes it hard. And so it's a difficult time, and that's why I've kind of had this back and forth, and I've gotten to where I call this preseason camp, because I cannot make myself say fall camp. It's not fall.
You're not kidding.
And so I'm like, I still do preseason camp.
It's
just like
dog day camp.
Yes, because it's hot. I just looked, it's 92 with a heat index of 101.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. The humidity is
and it really, it said only 53% right now, which is crazy.
I don't
it feels
believe
like
that.
It's 153%.
Yeah.
But really hot. And so it's crazy. Like, and that, they're playing in the dome. But like, there's high school football games in Georgia this week.
That's right.
And so Auburn's quarterback commitment, they play tomorrow night in the dome. And so Brookwood opens up tomorrow night. There's some Alabama teams that'll be scrimmaging this week,
right,
and then play next week.
So
it's that time, and it's going to be. I mean, just think of it, like at kickoff at 7 o'clock on a Friday night.
It's going to be 90.
It's going to be, yeah, the heat index will be 92, 93.
Oh, easy.
And the temperature will be 88.
Upper 80s.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really, really hot. But that's you know, it's wild, because you think about it and going, you know, like, oh, it didn't seem that hot. Well, it wasn't that hot because we didn't play.
No, we didn't play until September.
Yes. And so
we played after Labor Day.
2 weeks isn't a huge deal, but it is when you look at the end of the year, especially, because I went and looked, and now high school football in the state of Alabama, you're going, you know, kind of how does it work, how does it look, all those things, and you go, let's look at, we'll look at Auburn High School, for example. Auburn High School schedule, their last game is October 30th. You're finished.
Wow, your regular season is done before Halloween. That is wild to think about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you play.
And, you know, a lot of times it's still warm
absolutely,
on Halloween.
Absolutely, it is. And so you're talking about, you're playing August the 21st, first game against Hewitt Trussell. So that'll be a really good game to open the season for them. But yeah, your season is finished on October 30th. So there's some people that will be finished on October 23rd if they're playing don't have a bye week and take their bye week at the end,
right,
they'll be finished October 23rd with the regular season. And you think about going, like, if you don't make the playoffs, then your football season is done a week before. I believe they may be a team that has a bye week at the end. No, they play the 30th.
But there are teams. Yeah.
They are. I remember looking, going, look, maybe your bye week's at the end. You're done. And if you don't make the playoffs, you're done October 23rd.
Your football is done before
you get,
the
get to basketball. The you October. Get to basketball season before you
oh,
start.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you get everybody gets plenty of practice time for basketball. But that is crazy. So, it is hot. Yeah, I was thinking about it last night. It's like, fortunately, we have a two-story house, and it was downstairs that it was out. That's the living area, basically, but the sleeping area is upstairs. But I know during the middle of the night, during a bathroom break or something one time, I mean, that's just the way it is with old folks, my wife said, I don't think our air conditioner's gone off. And I said, well, honey, that's because it's so hot
it's
downstairs.
Not going to. It's
the
rising.
Hot air's coming up the
it's
stairs.
It's rising, that's right.
And I mean, the thermostat's going to sit there and keep saying, I got to keep running.
Uh-huh, that's right.
So I was like, please, we got to get downstairs fixed because upstairs is going to tax it even more.
And it's going to shoot that bill up. Cool. Again, there's no way around it right now. Yeah. It's just what it is. But, it's just part of living in Alabama
that's
this
exactly
time of
right.
year. And when things start this early, it's going to be hot. I think that's part of the reason why it's now so good that, you know, whether it's, you know, Auburn University, whether it's Auburn High School, Opelika, Lee Scott, whoever it is, kids now, they train throughout the summer.
Right. You have year round training as opposed to taking the summer off and trying to get back in shape. This.
Yes, yeah, you couldn't do it. I mean, you couldn't come. No, not only that.
Guys like us. I mean, if you came back needing to drop some weight, you may drop. Drop.
You might do. Yeah, but and you might
Period.
Drop the weight, but just
no. I mean, you may just drop.
Yeah, though. but you're not. Even if you do that,
it's not a good way.
No. And you're going to be exhausted, and you're going to be drained.
You're going to be dehydrated.
Yes, and so yeah, you look at it, and it's an opportunity now to go out and whether it's high school, whether it's Auburn, whoever it is, get prepared because the season is upon us in high school football, and you start to put on full pads, and it feels like now you start to maybe begin to figure some things out for this Auburn team as they practice and head towards the scrimmage on Friday.
Yep, tomorrow will be the first day in full pads, and everyone today was really excited about it. We had a chance to talk with Tim Banks, co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach, and four of the safeties today, and they were all really ready to go ahead and put the full gear on and go ahead and hit. I mean, that and exactly what you were talking about, Jason. And it's one of the things Alex Golish talked about last week about the positive of being able to have everything installed, have everybody in shape, everybody is conditioned so they can get out there and really start practicing. They're so far ahead now, and you have to be to be ready to start playing here in just a few weeks.
No, yeah, it is. It's one of the things I've talked about a little bit, really for the last couple of months. But you can see it more now. Bill, we were out there day one of practice, and 15 years ago, even 10 years ago, day one of practice would have been, oh, you're handing the ball off, making sure this guy's in the right spot, and you're holding up cards, and you're doing things to make sure. They want to practice now is
line up and
run the offense.
Do it. That's right.
Run the defense. It feels like you picked up halfway through a year.
It does. I mean, it feels like you're like in week three or four.
You're
a week or two.
A bye week. It feels like a bye week during the season where you're like, we're just going to work on ourselves. Because once you get into the season and you're – game planning for an opponent is very different. But when you get to a bye week, it's like normal practices. That's what this feels like, because that's how much farther along you are, not only because of the summer work you've had, but because you brought in your offensive coordinator and offensive line coach and wide receiver coach and quarterback and center and a couple offensive linemen and wide receivers and running backs. It allowed you to pick up, I mean, months ahead of where you would have been had you just rebuilt this thing from the ground up.
Oh, no kidding.
That's the advantage of doing it the way Auburn did with Alex Golish and bringing all these people in. We'll see if it pays off. But no, to this point, there's no question in my mind that it's paid off in terms of knowledge, comfortability, being ahead of where you would have been normally. All those things, I think, are exactly where you would want to be.
No, I think the preparation is far ahead of any time we have seen here at Auburn when there's been a coaching change.
No, yeah, absolutely. It's because it's such a different world mm-hmm. now.
Yeah, you used to not be – maybe you could bring coaches. That's it. That's all you could bring was coaches. Yeah. If you brought players, they'd have to sit out.
Yeah, and correct. And so you look at it now, and you've brought ready-made – whether they play or not, at a minimum, you brought another 12 assistant coaches mm-hmm. with you who are sitting in meeting rooms, who are rooming with somebody, who are riding – like everything they are. We talked to a couple of guys the other day, and they said, listen, Cole Best and Cole Skinner – have been unbelievable in helping the offensive line guys.
Oh, I'm sure.
Get prepared, like they're like great. Above and beyond.
They're excellent communicators with the media. So I am sure correct. They're great communicators with their peers.
So above and beyond. I mean, we see it every day. Like they're out there working on this one man sled. And that folks that might have seen video and they're like, oh, it looks like it's struggling. This one man sled, you got to get down to like 2 feet off the ground to get under this thing, mm-hmm. and then it weighs just a tremendous amount to be able to move it. And these young guys have to get used to the technique. It's not necessarily just you're not strong enough or not.
Right.
But Cole Skinner, when he gets on that thing, he moves it like 20 yards, and it's like choppy feet. Like this an older guy that's showing them, hey, this is how you do this. And it's really interesting to see it because it makes me really think even more that the mindset for this team is going to be able to get under people's pads running football.
Mm-hmm.
And had somebody, you know, in my had some questions. I wrote some 5 personnel issues, and one of them was like, okay, we'll begin to see what the offensive line looks like. And they're like, well, can they finish in short yardage situations? I was like, having a quarterback that can run really helps that. Even last year, when they chose to do that, it worked well.
It sure did.
They just didn't choose to do it a whole lot. That's a extra dimension that should help this offense in those situations. But I went looking like is that right? Baylor was the only power four game last year where Auburn was 50% in third down conversions.
Wow!
And they were 50% that game.
Man,
they were not over 50% in any power four game.
That goes a long way in telling you why you didn't have a winning season.
And why
your offense struggled.
Too many negative plays left you in third and long situations,
mm-hmm.
and in the third and short situations, too many times you threw the football because they numbered games you, and you're like, well. The numbers tell us we need to throw the football.
Yeah,
here.
Well, you know what? Sometimes, and we've seen this, and I think you're going to see it. We'll find out. But, I mean, sometimes, regardless of that, you've got to be able to just run the ball.
Well, here's the thing. When your best player is your quarterback, and I mean, I'm not saying Byron Brown, like Jeremiah Cobb, there's some good players on this offense. But when you think about in those situations, I think back to Cam and going, listen,
mm-hmm.
that guy said, okay, we got to get a yard. I'm going to get a yard. There's something really valuable in having that ability in an offense. And, listen, teams will know it's coming, but you also have Jeremiah Cobb and you have other guys.
Right.
And so I think that's something that should help them in those situations this year when you get in those opportunities.
You know, you got me thinking when you were talking about the guys that came, all the offensive players that came. You know, of the players that came in from South Florida – there aren't many that I look at and go, he's not a surefire. Nah,
he's gonna play.
I mean, maybe a young receiver or two is gonna be down the line.
Yeah, I think correct. Like Corey Pettigrew, we haven't heard as much of. But I mean, listen, Christian Neptune's jumping
in. There's 4 other receivers that came from
South
Florida.
Neptune's jumping in, and we already know the other 3. And listen, at running back,
if you don't think the rest of those guys,
like Mekhi Davenport, right now, I would say Mekhi Davenport's probably your 3rd guy.
Yep.
And he's a bigger body. He might be a guy that when you get in a red zone, maybe you're number 1 guy. Like, he could be number 1 guy maybe in down close. But you're right. All those guys are going to be in the mix at a minimum. And, look, the guy that I probably thought less of coming out of spring was Cole Skinner.
Yeah. And he does not look like
– he doesn't look like
Cole Skinner
guy.
We saw in the spring.
Completely different player. And so I think you look and go, okay, now Now what's it going to look like when you put full pads on? Mm-hmm. You can do all these things, and people are like, what's this look like? I said, listen, all we know is just physically here's what they've done to this point. Now everything matters. What we saw before led you up to this moment.
Sure.
Because nothing, if you can't do it with full pads on, then none of that other stuff matters.
Hey, it put everybody in the position that they're in right now, where they, you know,
who gets the reps.
When we've been watching, all right, here's the order they've been going in. Tomorrow, though, it's either going to be justified, confirmed, or you're going to see some changes.
And you're going to see, you'll see rotation anyway.
Oh, yeah. I think you'll see more rotation than we've seen.
Yeah, I agree.
Throughout.
You know, and somebody asked me about the offensive line. I don't think there's any question in my mind that there are more options on this offensive line than there have been for an Auburn team in a long time.
And that's even with Ty Buster correct. Out. I mean, Brian and I were talking about it yesterday, Jason. I mean, and it was easy to come up with eight or nine guys right there that you go, they're going to get an opportunity to play some.
Normally, since probably 2017,
we've been struggling to get to seven.
Can you find your sixth or seventh guy?
Yeah.
Now you're looking going, I feel like Jacob Strand can be six. You feel like Jacoby Ward's in there that can play. Obviously, Cale Ellis is a guy that can play center.
So there's eight.
You think about those positions and listen.
I mean,
you know, there's other options. Kenneth McManus.
Jack
Lehrer's a guy that's in there. I mean, look, there's some options. Obviously, we haven't even mentioned a true freshman offensive tackle that they feel like's going to be in the mix, Wilson Zaire. So, look, that's 8, 9, 10 guys that you go like. Are they 8, 9, 10 all SEC guys?
No,
probably not. But are there 8, 9, 10 guys that you feel like are legitimate guys that
can
play
in the SEC?
I think so.
I think so, too.
And so that's it. And so, and listen, I said last year's offensive line to me from 1 to 5 physically was probably more talented. Just physically.
Mm-hmm.
But the offensive scheme did not do them any favors.
No, they didn't utilize the abilities of those guys.
This offensive scheme should allow them to do more things, even though they may not be as physically talented as last year's. That's okay.
Well, I think everybody is on the same page here.
Yeah.
They all know exactly
here's the thing. You know
what's
what you
expected,
want to do.
Because they've got the offensive line coach who's been under the offensive coordinator, who's been under the head coach and with those guys for the last few years.
And the scheme is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's not trying to go, well, this quarterback's got to fit this scheme. Well, this is the same quarterback you've had, and you've been successful, and you've done things. And so, yeah, there's a lot of positives. Now it begins for real. And we'll see kind of the mindset and the tone because, you know, we'll get to see some practice time. We won't get to see a scrimmage on Friday when they do it. But we'll get to gauge the tone of what Alex Golish sees, what the players and the coaches feel like, you know, they gained from the first scrimmage. And you'll have a second one. And there'll be some competition opportunities coming throughout the next couple of weeks as well.
Hey, but I would say starting tomorrow, the next 10 days are critical for anybody who wants to, who wants to be assured of playing time early on.
I think the first week, maybe even less than a week, first 3 or 4 days, are when you find out what guy that's on the fringe, maybe can we count on. You'll look. We just mentioned these offensive line guys. I think they feel pretty good about those, but for young guys on the offensive line, is there somebody that you go, man, we haven't seen that, but now it is. Wide receiver, is it, you know, we heard a ton about Brian Williams in the spring. Yeah. Haven't heard as much in the fall, in the preseason. Can he, again, get back to that point where he's in the mix a little bit? And then look, that defensive line is the one, to me, where there's so many opportunities and so many bodies. Who is it? Who's it going to be? Because I think we feel like Dallas Walker's going to be a guy. Feel like Cody Sickler's going to be a guy.
Yeah.
Feel like Nate Johnson and Sean Womack have to be guys.
They better be. That's
right. And Jerry Smith is a guy that you feel like is ready to take the next step. But like who are the guys who supplement the rest of that group?
Yeah, then there are a bunch of young guys, a bunch of second-year guys.
You go Malik Autry and Jordan Crawford, Darion Smith. You go those three guys.
And then
Walter Mathis fits in now, his second-year guy. That's four guys you bring in. You know, a couple of transfers.
Yeah.
A couple of true freshmen.
Saint has gotten a few mentions here this fall.
Yeah, and so where do things shake out there? Because you know you're going to play a bunch more guys there. But can you find the guy that says, hey, I'm going to take this over? Because we saw Bobby James and Travis do that last year. He became a guy that was mm-hmm. like he was their best defensive lineman last year in terms of the interior defensive tackle. Can you find a guy that says, all right, I'm going to be the guy? Cody Sigler's been the one that we've probably seen more and heard more of. But I mean, like Dallas Walker, if Cole Skinner's my first guy, Dallas Walker's my second guy, where I'm like, okay, all right, I'm a little more believing what I see now in that.
He has really, I mean, taken – looks like he's taken advantage of that opportunity to come back and get an extra year and has gone at it. I thought last year he was a little better than I expected him to be, and he looks better now than he did this spring.
30 pounds less. Yeah. That's the thing. He's still 335.
He's still a big dude.
Still big enough to hold down the interior of a defensive line. But you look at him and going, like, go back and watch him. Like, this is a guy that started at Texas A&M. Like, he was highly recruited. Went back and watched, and he looked like J.J. Pegues. They're playing him at tight end. He's catching passes and scoring touchdowns. The athleticism is there if you can get back to where you can play multiple plays,
right,
get that explosiveness. If this can be real in what we've seen early on, then that's a difference maker for this defensive front.
Yeah. Starting tomorrow, it's going to be fun. The battles there up front. On both sides, really going to be very, very interesting. We need to get to our first break. We're just underway here on the Tuesday Drive. We need to check in with the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham. Usually do it about a quarter after. He's probably waiting for us right now. I will let him know we're calling now. So stick with us. We're just underway here on the Tuesday Drive.
Tune.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Bill, Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 here in the studio, Drew at the controls, and we're going to head to the Drive hotline. Welcome in our good friend, the voice of the Auburn Tigers, Andy Burcham. Andy, how are you doing today, man?
Doing very well, guys. Good to be on with you as we continue just to gear up for the start of this athletic season on the campus.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, you've got soccer and I mean, of course, football. Pads go on tomorrow, so I mean, we're getting closer as the temperatures continue not to fall.
No question about that. You know, Auburn soccer opens its season tomorrow night against the top 25 opponent in Clemson at the Auburn Soccer Complex, and then we'll play on Sunday at home against Georgia Southern. So James Armstrong's first two matches of the season that count, at least, will be at the Auburn Soccer Complex and dealing with that heat. And, the pads go on. They've been in shells for the last couple of days, and now the full pads go on, and we'll see some full hitting at practice tomorrow. We're looking forward to seeing that and just, you know, as this team continues to unfold for the start of this 2025 season. Jason, I mean, you look at both offensive and the defensive line, and I think there's a lot of questions that are to be answered by the time this season starts against Baylor. I know you guys were talking both offensive line and defensive line in the segment prior to this one. And I think it's two of the absolute keys for this Auburn team. I think it's where the question marks are for this Auburn team. And it's primarily because when you look at that offensive front, it's brand new. Brand new guys. It could be a complete transfer portal starting offensive line. I think that's likely for this Auburn ball club going into the season.
Yeah,
and
no,
some new guys on that defensive front as well.
Yeah. No, it's wild. We talked about this a little bit last week, but like, we're getting ready for a football season, and there's a very real chance that week one against Baylor, that the majority, really all but two guys we see on offense,
right,
we would have never have seen play in person before in an Auburn uniform.
Yeah, never at Auburn.
Jeremiah, I mean,
they've played, many of them have started elsewhere.
Correct.
Many of them started it together elsewhere.
Yeah, but Jeremiah Cobb and Omar Mabson may be the only two guys on offense.
Yeah, right. And you may not see two at the same time on the field.
Yes, that we have seen play in an Auburn uniform. It's wild. That's the world we live in. But you're right. No question. The lines of scrimmage, starting point. I think corner is the other one where it's not that there's a lack of talent. I just don't know how it's going to shake out. I think there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of guys there. Again, it's the same thing. I think you look and go, Rashawn Pleasant, Blake Woodby, two guys back that were on the roster last year. Then you add Andre Jordan Jr., who is I say smooth. I think like that. He looks to me like just a solid, steady guy. And then you look, a ton of really talented, physically gifted guys. Gavin Jenkins,
I think he's really pushing.
Yeah,
Jason.
And so I think it's a really interesting dynamic room. And then Champ Anthony is the wild card of defense.
Yeah.
Because he can play a lot of spots.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Champ Anthony is one of those guys that can play anywhere in the back seven. I mean, wouldn't play at the linebacker spot, but he could play the corner, he could play the safety, and he's probably going to play at star for this Auburn team. And he's not the only one that I think that is in that realm for Auburn right now. I think there will be several that will play multiple spots and perhaps multiple spots in the same game for this Auburn team.
Andy. I mean, we talked to Tim Banks a little today, and he said that's his plan there at safety. Right. He's looking for six guys to play there, and he feels that he's got six that could play any of the three spots, field safety, boundary safety, or the star.
Yeah.
But I think that's a good thing.
Great.
I believe that's a plus.
Yeah, no.
Auburn team to have that flexibility, that versatility.
I think it's massive because he mentioned it today, but it's something we talked about for several years. Now, the most important thing you can do right now is dictate what the other team does. I thought it's been something that's missing from Auburn's offense for about the past 7-8 years, and that they got to the line of scrimmage and they let the defense dictate what they did on offense instead of vice versa. So they were adjusting to the defense. You check, then the defense checked, and you look up and you got 5 seconds on the clock and you go, well, I got to run this play. When you have a bunch of guys in the secondary who can play multiple positions, if you get caught with a corner matched up on a slot guy, you go, okay, that's fine. But if a guy's you're like, hey, they're going to motion out somebody,
and you got a safety,
and you're like, my
on
safety, look, okay, that guy's he can play corner too. We're not going to get hurt. So you look at it, Champ obviously is one, but Anquan Fagas, new boy, is a guy that can absolutely do that. Sylvester Smith can do it. Blake Woodby can do it. I mean, there's a number of those guys that can do those things, and that's a huge deal for a defense. And same thing at linebacker. When you think about DeMarcus Riddick and some of those guys, they can play all those spots. They can put their hand down, rush the passer, can drop into coverage. Very versatile back seven for this defense.
I agree, and I think that's a good thing. I think that's a positive. And when we talk about question marks for this Auburn team, in any of the spots we've talked about right now, whether it be offensive line, defensive line, or that back seven at this point, the question mark isn't the talent or even the versatility that this team has. It's just that so many of these guys have never done it for Auburn yet. That's the big question mark at this point. We have never seen Simmons, Plaz, Best, Skinner, and Ramil up front for Auburn. And that could be your starting five when Auburn takes the field against Baylor on September 5th. So that's the question mark of it. We just haven't seen it yet in the orange and blue for Auburn at this point. It's not that there is doubt there of the talent of this group or anywhere on this field for Auburn.
It's just an uncomfortable feeling to have unknown. It just is. You just don't know. And that's the thing. It's like people like, what do you think about Byron Brown? It's like, listen, he's done it and done it a bunch. I've just never seen it. So I'm like, I think it's good. I have no reason to believe it's not good, but I just haven't seen it with my own eyes. And so because of that, you're like, the same thing offensive line. Like I think this group's going to be okay. I think they're going to be fine. I think the system is going to really help them. But I haven't seen them go out and block really anybody. You know, we'll see them block their own guys this week. Even that, though, you go like, you don't really know until you play somebody else exactly what it looks like and how it's going to work.
No, but one of the things that I feel is really a positive and has been a positive is something that had folks a little concerned this spring, and that was that, you know, the offense wasn't just clicking immediately. But Andy, that's because DJ Durkin, and I'm sure at Alex Golish's behest, hasn't taken it easy on Byron Brown and Joel Gordon and the Auburn offense. And that's got to be nothing but good as long as you are able to learn and improve from it. And talking to Byron Brown the other day, I mean, I think he really feels like this has been good for him, and he reacts quicker now after having faced a DJ Durkin defense as much as he has.
Well, if there's a spot on this Auburn defense that we do know what it's a known entity, it is DJ Durkin's position room. It's the linebackers for Auburn on this defense, whether it's Bryce Diaz or Xavier Atkins or Elijah Melendez or DeMarcus Riddick or even Michael Matthews Canty, who's kind of one of the new guys there. That's the strength. Go at this point of the season, and we're still a couple weeks out from that Baylor game, that's the known entity, and the kicking game for Auburn as well. I mean, I think everyone feels comfortable that Alex McPherson is back and healthy and kicking well, and whether it's Hudson Cock or John McGuire at the punt spot, Hudson returns for a second year. I think Auburn feels good about that, but if there's a spot on this team, other than perhaps that running back room, led by Jeremiah Cox,
yes,
it's the linebackers right now.
And
a healthy DeMarcus Riddick will certainly help that strengthen that linebacker room for Auburn as well.
No, and DeMarcus, I mean, he's really bouncing around out there and looking like he's having a great time. And that, I think, is a big telltale sign that you know, he feels completely healthy.
Well, I mean, you know, his best game a year ago was that Oklahoma game where he had career-high six tackles. And it wasn't long after that that the shoulder started the problem, and eventually it ended his season. But, you know, you were talking a little bit about a couple guys that Jared Smith, for example. Auburn waiting for Jared Smith to take that step at edge and be consistent force for Auburn at the edge. And really at linebacker, if there's a guy that Auburn's waiting for that to happen, I think it's DeMarcus Riddick.
Mm-hmm.
Not that he hasn't shown it in the past. It's just, when do we see it on a consistent basis? When do we see that Oklahoma game for DeMarcus, game in and game out? And a lot of that has, I mean, he's dealt with injuries.
Oh, yeah, that's been the biggest problem.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I talked to him a few days ago, and you know, I get the opportunity and the good fortune to watch a lot of these guys in high school. And I said, listen, like, they've never seen you healthy, have they? He goes, no, like, he's never been healthy. He had shoulder issue in senior high school. He was like, I'm gonna play through it that first year. Play through it last year, and said, like, enough's enough. Like we haven't seen him be that guy that he's capable of being to this point.
Watch out if he is.
Because he's like, it's Carlos Dansby athleticism. Now, he's not 6'4".
No.
But it's that type of athleticism, because that's the crazy thing about this group. Because I was doing some photos the other day, and it was linebacker versus running back and tight end in just one-on-one pass protection. They're rushing a passer. Watching these guys turn the corner and get low, do those things. And it gave me a different, I guess, idea, a different respect for Xavier Atkins, because Jeremiah Cobb's trying to block Xavier Atkins, and he is a foot and a half off the ground, but he's still moving full speed. Like, he is crouched down, turning a corner. I'm like, you can't block that guy. He's too low. You can't be that, you know, base that you need to block somebody. And DeMarcus Riddick can do the same thing, because I always think back to Terry Price. One of our buddies has gone way too soon, but they used to have these hoops that they would run in practice. Yeah. And it was always about staying low and turning and getting underneath, but staying on that line and watching those guys do that. You look up and you go, that's why Zay Rack has had 9 sacks last year. It's why DeMarcus Riddick is a guy that could be an elite pass rusher for these guys as long as he can stay healthy and do those things.
And, Andy, you mentioned Jared Smith. New Boy was one of the players we got to talk to today, and he was asked about his former high school teammate. And one thing, if you only heard his response, it was still very impressive. But if you could have seen the look on his face, the smile that sort of came up on his face when he said, he's ready. He's ready to show what he can do. He's a guy. I know, Jason, you saw him a lot in high school, and the only question about him was, is his motor going to run constantly all the time? What any question about his ability, his athleticism? But he, from all accounts, from the players that have been out there with him and folks we've talked to, and from what we've seen, he just appears much more serious about, you know, showing what he is and what he can do.
Yeah,
this fall.
And this is another guy that's really young. And like, mm-hmm. He just turned 19 years old on July 29th. But he was a basketball guy first, like a lot of guys are. And when he made the move to Thompson towards the end of his junior year, the difference in him by the time he got done playing as a senior was dramatic already, because he got to see those guys every day in practice, and he got to feel that, okay, this is what it's supposed to look like with those guys that are college ready, college prepared, all those things. So the athleticism is through the roof. But you look at Jared, and you look at him and go, like, he looks like, if somebody didn't know, you'd say, he probably weighs 230, you know. And you go, like, that guy weighs 260.
Yeah.
Like he, it's a big, he's a linebacker.
He's a
in a 6'6", 260-pound body. And so you think about guys who are like that, and you think about Julius Peppers and all these guys. That's who comes to mind when you think about what Jared Smith could be. But you're right. Can he be physical? And the word is, it's cliche, but like, can he be enough of a dog, mm-hmm. to just go, I'm fixing to terrorize folks? And if he can, then again, those are those wild card guys.
That's a huge piece to the puzzle, if he can.
No question. 6'6", 260, and an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Jason, as you mentioned, still young.
Yes.
All right. Is he taking that next step forward for Auburn? If he does, that's an enormous factor for Auburn. On one edge. Of that defensive line for Auburn.
Oh, there's no question about it. Andy, you've had a chance to see a little more practice than we have, but from everything that we have seen thus far, look, there in today was practice 6, I believe. And usually at the end of the first week, you know, we were talking with Don the other day about this, guys start to drag and coaches get a little concerned at times. You know, you want to make sure the energy is still there. I haven't seen a drop in energy yet, and it's your – that's the way it felt after practice today when we talked to Tim Banks and some of the safeties.
I agree. And for those that come out and just observe, watch practice for the first time, everybody that I've talked to that get an opportunity to come out and watch a practice, and they're not all folks in the media and folks like us, but everybody talks about the pace,
mm-hmm.
of these practices. And that hasn't changed. And it was a hot one today.
Oh, yes.
It was warm out there today. And yet, I'm amazed at how incredibly organized these practices are for this Auburn ball club, how quickly they're going from one to the other. And listen, we're a couple weeks off, and there's some big practices and scrimmages, as JC talked about, coming up for this team. But I like what I've seen so far. I like just the pace of these Auburn practices. Here's one thing I think you can tell. They put in a ton of work in the offseason. from a strength and conditioning standpoint to get to this point,
right?
Of this practice season.
Oh, there's no question, and yeah, starting tomorrow. I mean, pads go on, and some there will be some separation at some spots. So it's going to be really interesting, and no reason for there not to be as much competitive fire as we've seen out there for the first week.
I agree. Tomorrow's practice is going to be fascinating to be able to watch it and to watch this team respond to this first big one in full pads out there for Auburn tomorrow.
Oh, no question. Andy, before we run out of time with you, I mean, what is the word back? I mean, we read the reports there. Didn't seem like Stephen Pearl was terribly disappointed in the fact that Auburn split its two games over in Greece.
Well, Auburn dominated game one. In game two, I don't think Auburn played Kevin Overton or Tahad Pettiford much, if at all, in the second half. And Auburn fell behind and had a chance to win it on a three-pointer at the buzzer. Ended up losing by two in that game in Greece. Auburn has played shorthanded even in game one.
Right.
As they wait on the eligibility of Rob Savicius and Goy at this point, the two international players. Couple guys banged up, so I mean Auburn went to Greece knowing that four guys were in all likelihood not playing for Auburn. That I think will be a big part of Auburn's rotation when the season starts and Auburn plays that exhibition against Florida State in Birmingham in October, and then gets ready for the season. Listen, you learn in games like Auburn has played there. And Auburn's competition is also going to pick up, even for those two exhibition games that Auburn plays coming up. So, I've read just like everyone just about the team and the opportunity to be together on a trip of a lifetime, probably for many of these. And I think they like the way the team played in game one. The first comment that Stephen has had after both of their games, he talked about how physical the two teams that Auburn played, and that's good. Auburn needs that physical challenge because you're going to get physical when you go up against a Florida or an Alabama or an Arkansas or a Texas or a Kentucky in SEC play. You know it's going to be a physical game when Auburn plays Arizona and when it gets Clemson in the SEC-ACC Challenge. So I think that was something he was looking for out of the opponents that they faced in Greece. I think he liked the way his team responded to that and knows that it will only get more, it will get better as far as talent and certainly more physical when this season begins. I hope these guys have had a good time.
Oh,
they've benefited not only just from the games that they've played, but the time to be together and the growing culture. Team culture in this ball club.
Oh, I can't imagine that they didn't. What a wonderful opportunity that was. Andy, we mentioned soccer a little while ago, getting underway. Just to sort of run down what's on tap, and then the schedule wise with the Auburn Sports Network.
Well, I said Wednesday. I meant Thursday. Thursday is when Auburn opens that SEC or that schedule. The Tigers open the season actually tomorrow. I was right, the first place. Mm-hmm. Hosting Clemson tomorrow night at 6 at the Auburn Soccer Complex. Then the Tigers will host Jacksonville State Sunday at 6:30 at the Auburn Soccer Complex. Both matches on SEC Network Plus and locally. You can listen to the games on WEGL 91.1 FM. Auburn's volleyball team will play a blue-orange scrimmage on Sunday at 4 at Neville Arena. For that match, so a first opportunity to get out and see Auburn soccer. This week on the Talking Tigers podcast, former Auburn golfer Jimmy Green, who until Jackson Coivin roamed the AU club, he was Auburn's all-time winningest golfer. And Jackson Coivin, of course, broke that record. Jimmy tells a great story about going to a tournament in the fall one year, and Auburn finished last. He was second, but Auburn finished last in the tournament, and a phone call that he got from Pat Dye, following that tournament. By the way, that same Auburn team then in the spring went back to the same golf course and won an NCAA regional. So they responded well.
Right.
And he responded well to that call from Pat Dye at that point. Coming up on the Talking Tigers podcast, what used to be known as the Dean of Students at Auburn, Dr. Bobby Woodard, is our guest on the first day of class at Auburn. On the Talking Tigers podcast, we have been able to schedule coming up as well. We will have John Cohen on the Talking Tigers podcast, Auburn's athletic director, in week one, leading up to that opener against Baylor. We will talk about new game day, the Auburn game day, with Rhett Hobart and Paris Buchanan and Daniel Watkins coming up. And I'm really looking forward next week and I can sit down with Benji Rowland, who is going to be Auburn's legend at the SEC football championship this year. I was there when they told him, when John Cohen gave him the news, and I can't tell you how much it appeared, how much he was so happy that he will be honored as Auburn's legend, and we're going to sit down with Benji.
Great.
Coming up in the next couple of weeks on the Talking Tigers podcast. But certainly looking forward to that. Tiger Talk begins on Wednesdays. Wednesdays this season, during football season, and our first Tiger Talk will be at the Awardville Supper Club atop the Graduate Hotel on the 26th.
How about
our guests will include Alex Golish, Nick Kleinard, and Butch Thompson. That evening, it is open to the public, so we're looking forward to being there.
Oh,
and then, of course, the following week, game week for the Tigers, we'll be back at Baumhauer's Victory Grill. I'm looking forward to being at Baumhauer's. What a terrific host for Tiger Talk as we gear up for that game against Baylor on September 5th.
Great lineup. Looking forward to all of it, Andy. Always appreciate you being able to spend a little bit of time with us.
See you at practice tomorrow, guys. Have a great one. War Eagle!
Will do. Thanks, voice Andy. Of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, joining us as he does on Tuesdays. And, John Cohen, who was working as a ball boy the other day at practice.
Yeah, I did. I got to get a couple pictures of him working as a ball boy. Jumped in there with at the wide receiver group. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. Like, Benji's a guy that I've known for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Great guy.
And you know, you think about, you know, people think about all the time. You think sometimes when you go to school, it's just part of your life, and then you move on, especially coaching. When you go coach somewhere else for 20 years, you've been there longer than your alma mater. Benji played at Auburn, has been here a long time. This is his school.
This is home. Yeah, there's no question.
And there's no question how important that was to him.
Got to get to our final break. Stick with us here on the Tuesday Drive. Final break.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck. At ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in. Hour number two of the Tuesday Drive. Bill, Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247. Got Drew at the controls here on this warm Tuesday afternoon. It is the eve of full pads for Auburn football as preseason practice continued today with practice number 6. And you know, like we were talking with Andy Burcham a few minutes ago. I mean, the players we talked to today and Tim Banks, usually a lot of times by this time, Jason, by the end of that first week, just before you're going in pads, you hear some, you know, talk about, you know, a little bit of a lull or guys dragging a little bit. Didn't seem like that was the case today, and no. I think that's a real positive.
Yeah, I think it's the difference in just how camp is approached nowadays, because you don't have two-a-days and you don't have three-and-a-half-hour practices. I mean, they had an off day yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very different because it's the camp's not used now to get in shape. And so because of that, you can stay fresher a little bit. Now, there's the challenges come not from exhaustion as much as competition now.
Right.
It used to come from exhaustion. We're like, we're going to exhaust you and make you have to concentrate, do those things. Now these guys are like, it's from the competition level that you're doing, you know, 7-on-7, red zone, goal line, all those things. Those are things you'll do in addition to having a full-blown scrimmage on Friday. You'll have those moments where you said, okay, all right, let's go 1-on-1 compete goal line right here. And you'll get a chance to start seeing some of those things now take place. And I think that's something that I think everybody kind of looks forward to.
You know, we were talking a little while ago about, you know, the line of scrimmage, which is obviously, I mean, it all starts up front with offensive and defensive lines. But, I mean, when you're talking about competition, we were mentioning safeties a while ago. We've talked wide receivers, running backs, linebacker. I mean, there even, you know, there's so many spots where there is real competition. And at a lot of those spots, it's not going to be the end of the world if you're not the first guy out there.
Correct. Defensive line.
Yep.
You're going to play a bunch of guys. But you think about where it factors in. Not worried about quarterback. That's the ultimate one.
No.
That's the one where you look.
That is the one, you know, for the first time, even though the last few years we've known who
kinda
the number one, you knew who the number one guy was going in, there was still that little,
technically, there was still competition.
Yes.
Listen, we know this one. This is, I mean, you got to go back to 2020, probably.
Right.
Even then, like, Bo had to compete with guys, and, mm-hmm. you know, shouldn't have, but he did.
You're right.
In 21, especially. Yes. But you think about,
shouldn't have.
Like, yeah, the positions where you go, like, wide receiver, you're going to rotate guys, but it still matters
because
who gets the most of those reps, mm-hmm. it still matters. Tight end's probably one right now where I would say that, it feels much like defensive line, where there's going to be three guys that probably mix in there depending on what
situations.
You're doing.
Yep. Right.
Running back matters, even though you're going to play mm-hmm. two or three. Jeremiah Cobb, that's the other one where you go, like, you know who that guy's going to be. But then you look at it, like, corner matters. You'll rotate guys, but you don't play a ton. It feels like safety's going to move around, and so – who the starter is probably matters, but I think they're going to play a bunch of those guys. So it doesn't feel like that feels like linebacker to me, where you're going, like, you know, Zay Rackin's going to play, but you also know that you're going to play some other guys at those spots.
Oh, yeah. You're going to play three other guys.
Yes.
There.
So, but quarterback, offensive line are probably the two that you look at going,
You need to know who your guys are.
Yep.
You need to know who the number ones are, and then you want guys ready in case. I thought, you know, a while ago when we were talking corner, Gavin Jenkins is a guy that I watched corners more than I have the other day in practice.
Yeah, I think him and Shamar Arnaud are two guys that are different than the other guys because they're so long.
Man, and his ability to backpedal and turn – at that length,
yeah.
I mean, it was impressive.
Yeah.
And he looked like the other day, he was in the first couple of guys a lot of the time. I think he's really pushing,
yeah.
You know, I think the assumption was, you know, it's you've got
bringing Andre Jordan
and Rashawn Pleasant are your top two, and that may not necessarily be the case.
Yeah, no, like Gavin Dink is a guy that I've kind of loved his game since they signed him, and I went back and watched him in high school. And you go, like, that guy's long. He looks like Walt McFadden a little bit.
Yeah, he does. A little more filled out.
He is bigger, yes.
Yeah.
And in high school he didn't. That's who he was. And then Shamar, I've seen a bunch going back to high school at Carrollton. And so you've seen those two guys, but they both look like their position coach kind of looked when he was in mm-hmm. college. And he was a guy that got drafted and played in the NFL. Long arms, long lever. You know, that's a guy that can run. And you combine those things at corner, and you think about, you know, knocking balls away, getting your hands up, doing all the things. And all things being equal, the longer you are, the better off you are just about every position.
Sure.
But you think about corner, wide receiver, offensive tackle is usually the three where you go, man, the longer you are right there, you're better. Defensive end, too. And they got some guys with some length.
Yeah, I mean that's the other thing is as I was looking out there at the corners, there aren't those, you know, 5'9" types
no.
out there at corner anymore. Which really puts you at a disadvantage, you know, a good bit of the time when you look at how many tall, big receivers you see.
It's kind of become opposite again. For a long time, those guys were the corners because
they were quicker.
Quicker, and you backpedal, and you had to do all those things. And receivers were the guys that were big.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you still want big receivers, but you're seeing now, like, quick, explosive guys. I mean, whether it's NFL, whether it's Miami and Malachi Toney, whoever it is, those guys now have a home on offense. Those were guys that would have been corners 20 years ago.
Right.
100%. And now they're playing offense, and your corners are the wide receiver guys.
That's exactly right. A lot of those taller guys have shown, if they can show they can backpedal at that size, then absolutely they're invaluable. They're invaluable there at corner.
Yeah, no question about it. So, yeah, it's changed a little bit in that regard. I talked to a couple of folks the other day who were talking about the same thing with tight end. And you're like, you know, the tight end position wasn't this. Because you think about Anthony Mix and you think about a bunch of guys before, like, you're either a big wide receiver or you're a linebacker, but your tight end was 255 pounds, and he put his hand in the dirt and he blocked guys.
Yeah, a lot of times it'd be a 6'3", 255.
Yeah, you might catch a few passes here or there. And every once in a while you'd have, Ed West. You had some guys that come through here that really caught the ball. But I think probably Philip Lutzenkirchen was a guy that, that's the first guy you look at. Like, he can block, but he's athletic, and he kind of – easing it that other way in other direction of that role. Now you look at this group, and I still think that Jake Johnson is a guy that, when healthy, can be a difference maker for this offense.
Oh, I think so too.
Background, catching the football, doing all the things he does with his size, just knowledge of the game, not only how much he's played, but family and all the stuff. I think that's a guy that, like if he can be healthy, I think he's a guy that can have a pretty big role for this team.
Haven't heard, and I haven't really watched the tight ends as much, haven't heard as much about Arliss Boardingham this spring.
I think healthy for the first time. And when he was healthy at Florida, he was good.
He was.
And like freshman All-American good. And it just has gone away. And, that's the thing about that group. And you go, can those two guys stay healthy? Can Jonathan Echols be a guy that consistently delivers, because athletically is through the roof?
Oh, yeah.
Can you put the pieces together? Because, listen, if you have three that give you one, that's fine. You can do that at that position.
Mm-hmm.
But Echols, I think, can be a red zone threat, can do those things.
And, boy, they're really, really intrigued by Xavier Newsom.
Yeah, Tree is a guy. DJ Broughton is, I think, going to be a really good player too, late addition for them. From down in Mobile area, that was going to South Florida, and says, "Look, I'm coming." And you look at him now, and the guy, like, he's probably gained 25 pounds since his senior year of high school. So, I mean, he's 6'4", 235, 240 right now, can run, athletic, really good addition. I mean, there's some of those guys that are, I mean, just think about, like, Deshaun Spencer would not be at Auburn.
Oh, no, he'd be at Duke.
Yeah, he might have been at South Florida.
Well, true.
He may have ended up going
there
anyway. They wanted him for this whole time. Like, that's a guy that was not going to be on the radar for Auburn, even though we had watched him a bunch. And, he is a guy that's going to play as a true freshman.
And that gets to something that we were talking about a little yesterday. I have been very impressed with a lot of the guys that were recruited by Alex Golish and this staff. They have me as a believer in their evaluation abilities. I mean, they have quite a few guys that weren't super high on everybody's radar that you look at them and there's no question these guys are SEC players.
I think it's, we just saw it the last couple of years. This straight up top tier talent is not the be all end all anymore. Like just having
just,
a bunch of
just five stars.
I mean, thing. I mean, it kind of started with Jimbo at Texas A&M. All those guys they recruited, those five stars didn't win. I mean, and now you look and go, look, Indiana had some good players, but most of those guys did not start out at a power school. I mean, there are a bunch of those guys that came from, whether it's James Madison, they came from smaller schools.
Right.
But you're like, okay. Evaluation is just as important from transfer as it is from high school. But evaluating those guys out of high school will allow you to keep them on campus longer, because a guy that's evaluated at high school and you're going, three-star guy, like, more than likely, he is not coming in and going to get mad in year one if he doesn't play. Like, listen, hey, we love you. Develop, be the guy you are, and you're going to do something. There's still a place for that. Not all of them, but there's still a place for that on rosters nowadays.
And also evaluating their personalities and how they're going to fit. It's not just their athletic ability. It's got to be their temperament. How are they gonna fit with what you're trying to do? You know, you hear the word culture so much, yeah. But I mean, yeah, the chemistry is tremendously important. How they're going to fit, and if they do, they're much more likely to give you more of a chance and stick around,
yeah,
as well.
No, every bit of it is important, because again, I mean, 2 or 3 years ago, I saw what Hugh Freeze and that staff were doing. Like, look, that's the right move, and I thought it was, but it's different than it was even 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And look, we've seen the Indiana blueprint. We've seen others do it too. It seems to happen at Duke, some different places. Get some right pieces in place, and you go, okay, can Darian Mensah was a guy that wasn't a highly recruited guy. Now people are like, oh, that guy's going to be a first-round pick. We just watched a guy win a Heisman Trophy that had to basically talk somebody into taking him at Cal. He just won a Heisman Trophy after moving to Indiana.
Well, I mean, you saw Vandy.
Yeah, I mean look, you know, like the old saying is there's more than one way to skin a cat. Like, especially at the quarterback position, there is no way to know that guy's a surefire. It just can't do it.
Right.
I just watched Drew Brees and watched his you know, Hall of Fame and ceremony. That guy was from Austin, Texas. Went to Purdue. Dad was football coach, grandfather's football coach, won a state championship, all those things.
But
the local school was doing it because he's 6 foot tall.
Yeah, he was undersized.
Yeah, and you're like, he's a winner. He got the job done. He could make plays, do all that stuff. And I think about Byram, and I'm like, listen, they went from nothing to winning games. Can you do that and take the next step here at Auburn? I don't see why not, because I think so much of it is attitude and belief.
Mm-hmm.
When you play quarterback, so much of it is the belief that, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go make a play.
Right. It's confidence. I mean, and sometimes people consider it as it's – but he's not cocky, but he is confident.
No, and listen, like, you have to have that
position. Absolutely.
Yeah, there's no question about it.
You've got to have that in your quarterback.
And so he's got it. Can you have enough around him, and can he make those plays? Because, listen, you're going to have close games. You're going to have a bunch of them. That's just the way this league is now. You're going to have a bunch of games where you get to the fourth quarter and you go,
and that's where,
who's going to make a couple plays?
Yeah, that's where your quarterback and your team's got to know that they can, that they're going to make those plays.
That's it.
Because if you doubt it for a split second, you're not going to do it.
Well, we've lived that.
Absolutely.
We've lived it for 5 years, watching teams get just close enough and then go, how's this going to mess up? And then you find out how it's going to mess up, because that's it.
You're waiting for something bad to happen.
You manifest those things. And, yes, can you flip that switch? That's as important as anything that happens in year one under Alex Golish.
Oh, absolutely right. We'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Bill and Jason with you for about another 40 minutes or so. So plenty of time for you to come on in here on the Tuesday Drive.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry Vickers, and you're listening to ESPN.com.
Welcome back into the Drive here on this Tuesday afternoon. Should we tell them what we've been talking about? My goodness,
it'd freak people out.
No. I mean, look.
It freaks me out just thinking about it. Still.
It is crazy. Jason mentioned it, and Drew had just seen it. I had not seen it. That a young man in Arkansas at high school football practice.
Unknowingly is the interesting word.
Yeah, it said unknowingly practiced for more than an hour with a water moccasin in his helmet. It was wedged underneath the padding of his helmet, and he thought he felt something
wiggling.
Thought he felt something. Took it off, and coaches started checking, and they found a 2-foot-long cottonmouth wedged under the padding in his helmet. Said they had to. They put it in a tote bag called Animal Control. Animal Control couldn't get it out. It was wedged in
like
so much.
Like I said, that's his helmet. It's yours, buddy.
They had to flood the helmet to get the water moccasin out, and said they didn't safely took it out to the woods and let it go, which is a lot nicer than I would have been with that. But my goodness, I mean, I just said it's good that we can laugh at that story, and what a terrible story that would have been, because I mean a bite on your head.
Yeah,
I don't know what you do.
Mm.
in a situation like that. But my goodness, the AD said, you know, you got a better chance of winning the lottery, you would think, than thinking you're going to have something like that.
Yes.
In a helmet. But it then said that the coaches are now directing all their players to thoroughly inspect their gear before they put their pads or helmets on. You wouldn't have to tell me, oh my, if something like that had happened. Now that I've heard that story, I'll be inspecting anything.
Well, I'm saying, I have a garage where I kind of keep my grass cutting shoes in there. I check them anyway. It was always usually for spiders, so I'm like, I'm checking pretty much everything.
Well, we had a yard sale years ago, and one of the things we had was a door that we replaced. One of the interior doors, I went to move it out.
Leaned up against the wall, kind of.
Yeah. I went to move it out. No, the snake had gotten inside the door in the handle and gotten inside the door. And when I pulled the door out and put it on its side, about a 3 foot. That was just a thing. I'm pretty sure it was just a garden snake, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't
when
matter.
When a snake is
when
coming out of
it,
a door
yes.
that's been in my garage, I was more than a little concerned. So yes, do be careful when you're doing anything. But fortunately, this story has, you know, it's happy an ending as you can have.
Yeah, I'll say yes. It is it's not a bad ending. So
no, I mean,
good.
Well, but seriously, I mean, you think about where, you know, some equipment rooms and things are, especially at smaller, smaller high schools.
Like it's part of it. Yes.
Yeah.
And so you think about that, going, yeah. Thankfully, nothing serious, and it's now a story everybody can talk about. Going, I cannot believe that happened.
No, and it said the young man was unfazed, just grabbed another helmet and went right back out to practice.
Like I said, don't think that would have been me.
No.
I think coach would have given you an excuse to go home.
No, it wouldn't have mattered if I'd had one or not.
No, yeah, I'm like,
I'd have said, you know,
I'm out of here. I might see you tomorrow. We'll see.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, we will see tomorrow. Jason, what are you going to be looking for tomorrow on the first day in pads?
Yeah, hopefully we'll get to see a little bit of that.
Yeah, hopefully.
Because our window has been kind of more back to Gus Malzahn window
It's early. It's early.
Very
stuff.
Early in practice. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really seen any true competition other than some of those pass blocking, you know, situations, some of those things. So. That's going to be the thing. Do we get to see some of those competition moments? Hopefully we do, because if not, then it becomes really hard. It becomes
True.
Difficult to get a whole lot of feel other than watching guys just because, listen, moving around in shells and moving around in full pads is different.
Absolutely.
And you'll see guys like this. That's the one thing about Deshaun Spencer. They said, listen, that guy is exactly the same player when he puts his pads on. That's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You want the guy that looks exactly like he did when he puts – that's where Xavier Atkins and those guys, that's how you separate yourself. And sometimes that feels a little different, when you see those guys for the first time, when those pads go on and when you start to kind of run through some contact, do some different things.
I mean, even if it's, a center, one side of the line or something, working against some guys, just to see that. I really want to see, Stanton Ramil in full pads going against somebody, and then those defensive linemen you were talking about a while ago. I mean, there are some young guys. I think that you need to see step up and show that they can be counted on for. For 15, 20 snaps a game.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think that you'll start to get a better idea of some of those folks here when you put the full pads on and when you start to get some of those moments and opportunities. And so, yeah, hopefully we'll get to see a little bit of that. We'll get a chance to talk to some people the next few days as well. And so you put all those things together, what we see with our own eyes, who we talk to and trust, and what they saw, what they felt. All those things come into play in kind of how you gauge what's happening and maybe the direction once you put those full pads on.
Yeah, because this is the time. I mean, this is the time they're going to be determining, and the players will determine, you know, who's going to be able to be counted on when they get to the Baylor game, because there will be a scrimmage Friday. I would assume there will be another one late next week.
Yep, I think so. I think that will be the case.
And then they'll have that week where they're doing actually prep for game week and then game week.
Yeah, I would guess that next week it probably moves to a night because of school.
Night or Saturday because
yeah,
classes.
It could be a Saturday morning. Yeah, you could do that. So you could do with classes starting next Monday, the 17th. Mm-hmm. You could have one on, obviously, this weekend you're going the 14th to be a scrimmage. Yeah, you could probably go the 22nd on a Saturday.
Right.
And then maybe even the next week you go, hey, a couple of situations things,
I think you'll have, yes.
As you head into game week. If there's a couple of spots, you're going, or we need to get sharper at this, you need to work on this, do those things, that's where you can do it. But I would guess we'll see two what I would consider scrimmages and then some moments mixed in throughout the rest of that. I don't think we'll see – a third scrimmage coming up later to do those things.
Yeah, I don't either. Tell you what, I want to get Jason to talk. You mentioned a while ago, and we'll get into that in just a little bit, about Auburn adding a quarterback commitment here over the last few days. So we'll get to our bottom of the hour break just a little early here. Again, phone lines are open. Love for you to join us, 334-321-1390. Bill and Jason for about another half an hour here on the Tuesday Drive.
Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Bill and Jason today. Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247. While we got a minute or two before we get into it, JC, talk a little bit about all the info that folks can find there at the site.
Yeah, no, a ton going on. Obviously, you're really going to be, I think, a really busy next few days. With the things we have leading up to a scrimmage and trying to get that information, do those things as well. So yeah, check us out, Auburn247.com. 60% off right now if you've never subscribed before. So it's a great deal. That includes Paramount Plus. If
you're talking about that's something really. Keep that in mind.
$5 a month and you get Paramount Plus with it. So that's as good a deal as you're going to find. So got that going on. Obviously, our new social media, YouTube, all that stuff. So come find us there at Auburn 247 and look forward to letting you see what we can do.
Sounds good. Again, we'd love for you to join in. We've got about 20 minutes or so left here on the Tuesday edition of The Drive, 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. If you've got any questions or comments for Jason, who's here for a few minutes right now, he's stepped up just a second, opening the door so that Hampton can come in and get comfy here for a few minutes. So join us if you if you've got a question or comment, if things maybe you'd like for us to keep an eye on when the team goes into full pads tomorrow. They will do that. I'm going to see if we can't get Coach Dunn over and get his eyes so we can get his thoughts on that when he's back on with us on Friday as well. One of the things that Jason mentioned a little while ago, Auburn with a key first piece to the 2028 class that they picked up over the weekend and picking up quarterback Sam Solley out of Gaston City.
Yeah, a guy that hadn't played a ton of football, took over about halfway through the year last year, had 13 touchdowns and one interception.
Yeah, that remember, again, that was his sophomore year.
Sophomore year, that's right. He's still got 2 years left. So, long frame, 6'3".
Yeah, he's good size for a kid just heading into his junior year.
But really composed when you watch him play. I'm looking forward to seeing him play this year and kind of watching him as he progresses as a player. I think he's a guy that will continue to see his status rise because, like I said, a lot of these guys that are 28 guys have probably started since they were freshmen, and they've been seen so much. He just hasn't been seen very much. And so this is a guy that really changed the trajectory of his recruiting in the spring. People saw him in the fall, but it was the spring that thrust everything forward
for him. He's the guy. Now let's see what he can do. But I tell you what, he's obviously impressed some people because there were quite a few schools very interested in him.
Yeah, they came through in the spring and they went, oh, okay, this guy looks different. He's much more physical, much stronger. And that's what said. People, they were like, oh, we're interested in this guy. And in the spring they went, okay, now I see it. And now I've seen it in person. So, yeah, I think a guy that, it's really early. We'll see how he develops, what happens with Auburn. Like, that's the thing about these now. You go like
– It's a long way.
It's a long way to December in 2028. or 27.
But it's good when you get, you know, when you have a quarterback that you know has some notoriety.
Absolutely,
that's a great early piece.
And it's a guy that loves Auburn. He grew up an Auburn fan. This is what he's always wanted to do. Those are important, and
they are
especially in-state guys. And so you think about adding pieces along with that. This can be a guy that can be a really good recruiter for you in the next two classes.
Yeah, that's something that's it's invaluable. To have that because they do. They are, in many cases, the Pied Pipers, the guys that'll bring in other pieces you would expect offensively. But, I mean, recruits, look, it's amazing how much players know about other players.
Yes. No, it is. I mean, there's no better recruit, you know, in terms of how you go recruit guys. There's nothing better than having people already committed that are doing that recruiting for you, because players, they want to talk to other players. What did you see? Why was Auburn the school for you?
That's right.
All those things are invaluable, and we've seen it time and time and time again. Not the be-all, end-all, now, especially in this world now, because there's more involved. I mean, there's going to be monetary value involved, all those things. But if there's monetary value involved for one, there's more than one. So you still have to find something that's a separator, because it's not going to be, somebody might pay you, if they pay you $500,000 more, then it's not gonna, then you're not going to be, there's nothing here that you probably see anyway that's going to be enough. But you might get them a second time, or you might go, they might say, okay, listen, I don't care. Everything still matters, because those relationships still matter. And like I said, finishing second used to be, oh man, that's the worst thing in the world. Now, not so much.
No, you're right.
Now, maybe okay to finish second.
Because if things don't go well early on, then you've got a chance to get them pretty quickly.
Yeah, you might get them back in a year.
Mm-hmm. Look, Jason, you've been following this recruiting for quite a while, and to this point, I've been pleasantly surprised by the job that Alex Golish and his staff have done. He's even talked about it. I mean, they don't have any proof of concept yet as to what they can do on the field, and that's something they're really excited about showing. But to put together the class that they did in the short time that they had, and then follow that up with this 27 class. Now, look, it's not a finished product. There'll be some attrition, there'll be some addition.
Correct.
But to have it where it is now and to be working on that 28 class is more than I expected to this point.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. And listen, I like it in that it feels like there's a plan.
Mm-hmm.
They've almost recruited an entire team.
Right.
Where you're like, it's a quarterback, two running backs, a couple wide receivers, some offensive linemen, defensive linemen. Like, it feels like, okay, here's our group for this year. Some are going to develop, some aren't. Here's our group for next year. Some are going to develop, some aren't. But you can't go and go, well, we're going to sign five wide receivers, one offensive lineman.
We're going to do skill players this year. We're going to do linemen the next year. No.
And look, all too often, Auburn got caught in that trap of going like, or here's our quarterback. Here's our quarterback, and we're not going to sign another quarterback next year. Well, what if that guy didn't work out?
Right.
You're left for dead. You have to recruit it, and you have to do it every year, and you have to sign a bunch of offensive linemen. You have to sign a bunch of defensive linemen. That's just the way it works, because I would say on average, if you sign six offensive linemen in a class, if you get two guys that wind up being starters, you'd have to feel really good about it.
Oh, yeah.
That means you're signing 18 to 20 guys in the course of 3 or 4 years, hoping you can get five.
Yeah, I mean, if you sign over 4 years, eight guys that eventually start, yeah, you're doing fine.
That's great. But you
may have to go out and get a piece now and then.
And that's your average.
But you don't want to have to be going out and giving three and four new starters.
And here's the thing. And people say, well, look at Georgia and Alabama. Yep. They sign just as many guys that don't make it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But they sign a bunch of them. Because you're looking to go every year when Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State especially, those three teams, when they were at their peak, they would all sign five to six offensive linemen every year. And over the course of 4 years, you're talking about 20 to 25 offensive linemen. And they only played five. They lose just
a
as
lot,
many.
A lot of those
they
big
lose
names.
Just as many. They lost just as many five-star quarterbacks,
right?
But they got more than one. You have to give yourself, and we were talking about this roster this year, you got to give yourself options because it's not going to work out the way you think it is. It's just not going to. There's going to be a guy that you go, we thought that guy's going to be good. He's not.
Yep.
You don't want to have to play.
No, what you hope, though, is that you've got some guys that it's like, wow, he's
better than we thought he was going to be instead of
we got nothing.
Instead of 2 years from now going, man, we should have signed that guy.
Yep.
Should have signed him. We thought he was pretty good. He wasn't ready yet, but we should have signed him. No, you got to sign those guys, and if they don't develop, they'll move on. That's just the world. But you can't just keep going, well, there's our offensive tackle. No, it don't work that way. You better sign. There's four of them. Hope we got one. And it feels like there's a plan to do some of those things now.
Well, I mean, I feel right now, and we were talking about it earlier. If you missed it, I encourage you to check out the podcast following the show. We were talking about offensive line earlier. I have seen some guys this fall that we didn't get a chance to see this spring and feel more positive about the depth that Auburn has. And that's something I think that, again, is a plus and an encouraging sign to see from what Alex Golish and his staff did going out and bringing these pieces in there. The fact that Jacob Strand and Jack Lehrer yep. are healthy and are –
Stan Ramil.
Yeah, absolutely, and are competing for spots there where – you know, in the past there haven't been that many options. And boy, if somebody doesn't work out, then you're just you're in big trouble.
No, that's the thing. You know, more so at that position than any other. But it's all the way across when you look at it and going.
Don't you feel this team? I mean, I just feel like this team is deeper. It may
correct.
Not be more talented,
that,
but it is
that's,
deeper.
That's what I've said the whole time. Like I think there's more capable players. Do you have an elite guy or two? That's what you're hoping. You're hoping Byron Brown can be that guy.
Right.
A couple of these wide receivers. We've seen Jeremiah Cobb, you know, almost be a 1,000-yard rusher, and in three or four games touch the ball five, six times. Like, there's more there in that role. Obviously, defensively, we've seen some guys be elite and can do some of that stuff. But you're like, can you, as an offensive line group, for example, what we're talking about is like, look, I thought, I mean, what, two of those guys are in the NFL for a reason. Yeah, Xavier Chapman's a guy that, from a talent standpoint, I still believe was a talented player. What they were asking those guys to do last year just didn't fit.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't work, didn't fit, whatever you want to say. But I think from, I said that wide receiver, look, you don't have Cam Coleman. And that's okay. But from 1 to 8, 9, 10, you're light years better than you were a year ago.
Oh, you're right.
Light years. Can you go execute this offense and do the things you need to do and win football games? You just had all those guys and you won 5 games.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Listen, sometimes you go, all right, we're going to put all these pieces together and it doesn't work. And it didn't. But the pieces have to fit together. And you have to have the right puzzle that you're looking at.
Yeah, you've got to know what the end correct. Puzzle
the
piece, is.
That's it.
I mean,
if you've got a bunch of pieces to fit together, you know, and don't know what it is, yeah, you're not going. It's not going to work.
Oh yeah, I mean, it can be some really pretty pieces, but if you don't know what the puzzle is supposed to look like when it's done, I mean, I was, you know, we were with the grandkids today, and our 4-year-old granddaughter had 3 or 4 puzzles, and she was confused, and I'd remind her. All right, look at the box.
Yep.
Look at this. This is what it's going to look like when it's done. That, now we've got to fit those pieces in there. And that's what you have to do.
It's what it feels like. It feels like there's a plan. Here's how we want to recruit. Here's how we want to build a roster. Here's how we're going to do it.
I feel like more of that than we have seen in
a while.
In decades.
It's been a while.
Where it's like they know what they want to get accomplished every day, and I think they're more players that understand that's part of this carryover and the being a step ahead with the guys from South Florida. They know what their coaches are trying to get, you know, get done and where they want to get, you know, by the end of each day and you know, by the end of
this practice. It is. Listen, don't worry about Baylor. Just worry about from right now to the end of this day.
Hey, I mean, did we? You know, we heard that from across the state, and people like roll their eyes and things like that. But when Nick Saban talked about the process, he meant it's like every day.
That's
every single day, and that's what you're hearing here.
No, and I said that. Listen, I was not the biggest Nick Saban fan in terms of how he handled things, how he handled the media, all that stuff. How that guy.
Boy, but he knew.
Got his team prepared. Yep. Now, they were talented, but he also, look, he was understanding enough to go, all right, what we did doesn't work anymore. I'm going to have to change or I'm not going to be good enough. He did it. He understood how you get teams prepared, how you build a program, all those things. It's different now, but look at Kirk Cignetti's the same type of guy. You go like, and it is about the intensity of that moment and or anything else.
Win the day.
And that's it. And it feels kind of like that. I go, listen, not worry about anything else. And, look, will it pay off? Will it work? I don't know. We'll find out. But I think to this point, it's hard to go, hey, I don't think this is the right move or whatever. Everything they've done to this point feels like it's heading in the right direction.
Oh, I'm with you 100% on that. Have not. There hasn't been anything where I didn't go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And in some cases, you wonder, why hasn't that been done before? Don and I were talking about it the other day. I mean, and you know, I don't guess we've had a chance to talk about it. I mean, some people taking shots at Auburn for going to a resort here for camp. Who cares where they're going? They're going somewhere as a team to be there just, you know, with themselves, concentrating on this, which is their job, their objective.
I had to retweet something last night, and I had to respond a little bit, but it was Ohio State checking into their hotel for camp. That's a pretty good team that's checking in the hotel right there. Didn't seem like too much of a distraction or a spa or whatever it is. Listen,
hey,
none of it matters. Because if you don't know what you're doing and don't know what they're doing, then you can't write about something.
No.
If you think they're sitting at a hotel at the pool.
They're just going and having a great time vacationing.
If you understand they come to campus at 7 a.m. in the morning, they go back at 9 o'clock at night. If you understand that, there is no spa day. They're sleeping in a bed. But they're keeping everybody together from start to finish. And you don't have dorms anymore. These guys don't live together. Matter of fact, most of these guys now live on their own because they make money and they have their own house, their own condo.
And some of them, the only interaction that they would have
is here.
Would just be at practice.
In that moment. And I remember vividly my senior year of high school. We started practice 2 weeks before Labor Day and we didn't play till that Friday or whatever. And we went to school at 6 a.m. and we practiced, and then you ate breakfast, and we practiced again, and we got on a bus and rode to an elementary school and ate lunch together, came back, and you took a nap in a stinking locker room, and then you had a special teams practice that evening, and then you practiced again at 5 o'clock, and you went home. And so we were there all day, all together, and it's something that will always be a part of that group when you like always. And I think like there is nothing but a positive that comes from this.
No, absolutely.
Zero. Will it matter? Will they go win
12
games?
Right, it doesn't mean they're not going to lose or anything.
But it is absolutely 100% a positive to get guys together and go, listen, you're going to bond and there's no distractions and here we go.
And if you don't think that is something that that can really help you when you're trying to retain players down the road, I think unless they just have a terrible experience and everything is, you know, everything's awful about it. But the players that have gone through it the last few years that we've talked to don't have any indication anymore.
I think most guys would enjoy it. Now, by the time you get to day 13,
you're ready.
Ooh, I'm ready to go back and sleep in my own bed, but that's okay.
Hey, they're in the final week of it now.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join us if you'd like as we wind things down here on the Tuesday Drive.
The dog days of summer are here.
Bill Cameron on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Tuesday afternoon. Bill, Jason Caldwell from Auburn 247 with Drew at the controls. I guess Andy just sort of mentioned Jackson Coivin by name. Jason, I mean, not terribly surprising, but I mean, he is off to a tremendous start. How about qualifying for the FedEx Cup in five professional events, which has only happened with one other golfer ever.
Yeah.
And that was a guy by the name of Tiger.
Yeah, and doing it, Tiger doing it was different because it was just a tour championship.
Right.
So there wasn't a top 125, which it used to be you qualify 125. Now it's 70. And I saw somebody say, listen, with a couple of good weeks in these playoffs the next 2 weeks, Jackson Coivin could move ahead of Ludvig Åberg.
Unbelievable.
John Rahm, a bunch of those folks in the world golf rankings. He's 27th in the world golf rankings.
That is unbelievable.
A 5 week span, it's been remarkable to see what he's done and to watch him just kind of go and get it done. And look, he's gonna have a tough one now because he was 70.
Right.
His playing partner is out of the FedEx Cup.
Yeah, he's like by himself,
right? By himself, which they really
difficult
thing.
How odd is that?
So I think they will probably put a marker with him, somebody that's playing, but it's going to be somebody that's not in the tournament. That's usually the way it's done. Somebody to go.
I was wondering exactly
how you do that. You have a marker with you. But it's still, he could go play in 2 hours and 50 minutes,
yeah.
Which may be a positive, though, because this is Memphis. And it's one of the hottest places on earth.
That's right. And he's like 7:10 or something like that.
And then the second one's 10 o'clock. But to be able to play where it doesn't take 5.5 hours may be a big advantage for him. But listen, he probably has to be a top five to make enough points to get into the top 50.
Yeah, I've seen projections need to be at least top 10.
Yeah, and so you're going how the other guys finish, all that stuff. But he's going to have a couple of really good days and then get inside that to get to the top 50 because of the points.
Yeah,
built
it goes 70, 50, 30, right?
Yeah, that's right. And so no matter what, it's already been
unbelievable. What a great start.
Impossibly good start to his career, and now he's got a chance to go do something even more special.
Oh, no kidding. Jason, always great having you in. Again, remind folks of what's coming up, how they can keep up with it all.
Yeah, absolutely. Come check us out, Auburn247.com. 60% off right now if you've never been a subscriber. Basically $5 a month. That comes with Paramount Plus, which is an awesome deal to get there.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of videos and stuff up on our YouTube page at Auburn247.com. Go subscribe to that. It's free. We went from zero to over 1,000.
Great.
And we're blowing and going there. So a whole lot. Check us out, Auburn247.com.
All right, Jason, thanks a lot, man. We'll see you in the morning for the first day in pads. That's going to wrap things up for the Tuesday edition of The Drive. Adam Cole in tomorrow. We look forward to talking to you then. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.